The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 245. Hope all is well with you as we are at the end of July, which typically does not equate to hockey playoffs, but in this wacky year of 2020, July equals hockey, and that's right, folks. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be kicking off this weekend. I know there's been some exhibition games already by the time that you're listening to this episode, but the real deal starts Saturday, August 1st, and I am so excited. I miss hockey since it went on hiatus in the middle of March there. I think it was March 13th or 14th. I've missed it quite a bit, and I'm so glad that it's coming back. And I'm so glad that it's coming back in what's going to be hopefully a safe way, and it looks like the plan that the NHL has put into effect seems to be on paper going to be a safe one to follow. So, but let's talk about my guest who's joining me to talk about hockey. He is a hockey enthusiast. He is from Montreal. His name is Luke Landry, and I'm just going to be 100% honest with everybody listening. I so wanted to do a hockey episode for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, whether it was in the regular time when they were supposed to happen in April or now. I so wanted to do one. And, you know, this is going to sound kind of maybe a little bit snarky, but I haven't been able to find a guest to come on and talk objectively about hockey and have some really good insight to bring to the conversation. And so last week, I threw it out on a couple of Facebook groups and a couple of forums that I'm part of for podcasting. And I just said, hey, look, I'm looking for somebody to come on and talk some hockey with me. And, you know, I would really ask that you not, you know, be a homer, that you check your fandom for your particular team at the door. And Luke was the very first person within, I don't know, 20 minutes or so to message me and say, I would love to come on and talk. And so last week, we kind of got together via Uber conference and talked a little bit. Luke was very excited to share his enthusiasm and his insights and opinions on the upcoming playoffs. He is a Canadiens fan, but I think as you'll hear in the conversation, he's pretty objective when it comes to his beloved Habs. And likewise, I try to stay very objective for my beloved Penguins. And I know right now there's a teaser, folks. The Canadiens and the Penguins are going to be facing off. How does this work on this episode between Luke and I? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump on into a couple of quick miscellaneous items. And then you're going to hear my conversation with Luke talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. The first thing that I got to do is I got to mention that this episode is brought to you by the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every single era. No matter if you want something from the golden era, the silver era, bronze era, or even the modern era, they got it. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, back issues, collectibles, comic book supplies. They got it all, folks. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the fine folks over there at World's Greatest Comics, or you can find them online. Just simply go to wgcomics.com. That's their website. Or you can even check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/WG Comics. And no matter how you interact with the store, whether you do it live in person or you do it through the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. And now I also have to remind you that the PVD Cast can be heard every Monday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time through Redline Radio. Just simply go to redlineradiollc.com or go to their Facebook page where the live broadcast will happen, and that is simply by just going to Redline Radio LLC. There's even an app, ladies and gentlemen. If you're an Android phone user, go over to the Google Play Store, look for the Redline Radio LLC app, download it, and you can take the station with you wherever you go, so you can hear all of the great shows and all the great music on the station. And if I may, I just would like to throw it out there that there is a new show on Redline Radio that is kind of near and dear to my heart because I've been guest starring on it for a while now since the pandemic started. That's right, the Three Geeks podcast is now every Sunday at 4 p.m. on Redline Radio. It's 2 hours of live chit-chatter about geeky and nerdy things. And you know what? To be bluntly honest, Redline's been adding a lot of shows, so you need to check out the catalog. Again, just go over to Redline Radio LLC through Facebook or the website, redlineradiollc.com, and check it out. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I sit down with Luke Landry to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to talk some hockey, and joining me on today's episode, Luke Landry. Luke, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm going to let the listeners in a little bit as to how we ended up connecting. I really, really wanted to talk NHL Stanley Cup playoffs since they're happening this weekend, and I threw it out in a couple of different forums and a couple of Facebook groups. I'm like, hey, anybody want to talk hockey? Come see me, man. And Luke, you were the very first person to respond and said, I'd love to talk some hockey with you, man. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so do I. It'll be interesting just to try to get me in the groove of watching hockey in midsummer.
Yes, we are certainly going to be kind of perplexed a little bit that it's hockey right now and there's not going to be fans either.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if they come up with something. I was reading that they're going to have new camera angles and try to make it as interactive as possible. But you know, when you see like the MLB, they want to have they're going to have some CGI crowds in there. I think some in Japan, I can't remember if it was football or baseball, they had robots in the stands. So I'm wondering what plan they have with that. Just leave the stands empty or try to just CGI stuff in there. So it's going to be interesting.
I don't know. That CGI stuff kind of creeps me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like something out of science fiction, like Ex Machina or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, but I mean, at the same time, it's just, you know, it's going to be a staple of this year. So, yeah. You know, having empty stands, I'm sort of fine with it. You know, it mixes in with the rest anyways. So,
yeah, I agree with you. I think that the realization is that 2020 has been an odd year. I mean, just all the way around. So I don't think that that's something that the NHL really needs to probably concern themselves with. You know, we're just happy to have hockey back.
Yeah. And I mean, the matchups are pretty interesting too. So it shouldn't make for a good cup run this year for sure.
So you played hockey growing up, correct?
Yes, I did. I'm actually a late bloomer. I started first year of Pee-wee. So I started when I was 12 years old.
Okay. And you're still playing now, right? We talked that you were still doing some rec league stuff.
Yep. I got slowed down this year and needed surgery on my right hip. But otherwise, I started playing again a couple of years ago. And yeah, man, it's once you start playing again, you realize how much you really miss it. And playing with a great bunch of guys too. You know, mm-hmm. No pressure, no hassling. You know, everybody knows they have to get up and go to work the next day. So no cheap shots, no anything. It's just straight up fun hockey. And it's even the ref, it's always the same referee that's there and he's just joking with us all the time. So it's great league. It's fun. And it's fun to, you know, just play with guys who are there just to play, you know?
I know. What position do you play? Or is it the obligatory, hey, just whoever's up is up?
I'd say half and half. If I'm replacing, to me, it's just like, just you can put me anywhere except the nets. But otherwise, I'm more of a natural centerman.
Okay. All right. let's talk a little bit about your fandom, because, you know, you're outside Montreal. You said you are a Montreal fan. Yes, so what's your earliest remembrance of the Montreal Canadiens?
Boy, that's hard to say. I mean, I was lucky enough to see the cup run in 93.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, there's just some memories here and there. I'd say probably after 93 is when I started getting a little more interested in hockey. But yeah, man, it's just, it's different now, because they really, I guess maybe 10 years ago or so, they really were able to make a happening out of every game, which wasn't the case back then. I mean, back then the games were on maybe three or four different channels. You had to figure out which channel the game was playing on. But now, I mean, if there's a game, and especially if the game is in Montreal, a whole bunch of people are talking about it. And then you realize that a lot of these people just know about the team or just about, you know, just the local stuff that's going on. But, I mean, they really were able to create a buzz around the team. And at the same time, you know, Montreal lost the Expos. We do have the MPAC and the MLS, so there's a bit of professional sports there. But, I mean, there's not that much going on in Montreal. So they were still able to capitalize on that and really make a happening out of it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, they're a storied franchise, 24 cup wins, you know, have seen some great years and seen some not so great years, as any franchise tends to have those ups and downs. But you know, I just was curious how the fandom was for the city. And it sounds like they've really created a great foundation.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. They I can't remember how many straight games they had sold out. So, I mean, it's a go-to thing. Even if the team has been struggling for the last, 7-8 years at least. So, it's an interesting thing.
Okay. All right. Well, one final thing before we jump on into talking about the NHL, you do a little bit of coaching, and you and I had talked before that you have an idea for a podcast. Do you mind if I ask you to just talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's a great idea. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody's listening that agrees with you and thinks that should happen. Maybe we can make something hook up here, so to speak.
Yeah, no pressure. But I mean, it's been an on and off thing for the last few years. It'd be a podcast about coaching, but specifically about coaching minor league kids. And I mean minor league kids, I'm talking about 6-7 year old kids, because you run into certain situations even at those levels that it's hard to find material on, it's hard to find information on. You're in this uneasy seat where as a coach, as a hockey fan, you want to make sure that you know, maybe they don't have this 10-12 year period where they don't play like I did. You know, they just play and have fun playing until, you know, the doctor says, no, you got to stay home. You can't do this anymore. So it'd be a podcast trying to explain, like, well, you know, if you ever have this situation, this is here, how we solved it. Did it work? Did it not work? If you have this particular type of player, because you'll have kids already, you can sort of see, you can sort of guess their natural positions. You can sort of guess what type of player they're going to be already. I mean, when they're 6 and 7, 8, you can see who your grinders are going to be. You know who your playmakers are going to be. So, you know, it'd really be something around that. And at the same time, I guess, mixing some life experiences in there. At least trying to put some information out there on how to deal with these situations with the kids. Because a lot of things you'll find are pro players, pro coaches talking about, you know, soon to be pro athletes, prospects, and all of that. And it's just, it's not the same. You know, you can't apply the same ideas, the same principles to the younger kids.
Well, yeah. And you know what? I think it's a great idea. And if there's anybody out there that thinks that is a great idea and you got some input, let me know. And, you know, you listen to this episode at the end of our conversation, I'll run down all my social medias and that. You shoot me an email or a tweet or whatnot, I'll make sure Luke gets that info, because I really think that's a great idea, because I think that probably there's a ton of coaching tips, tricks, information and whatnot for those teenage kids, but not the younger ones. So I think that that's something that, you know, really is a great idea and would be something that I think everybody that coaches hockey could use.
Yeah, and you know, maybe have it a little bit of a Q&A, or, you know, have people send in what they went through and how they solved it. Because, I mean, there's a lot, all the kids are different. You can't deal with them in the same manner. And, I mean, I have four kids. I know how to deal with all four of them. But unfortunately, like, not one of the other kids that I coached is like one of my kids. Every time it's like, okay, how do I go through this? How do I explain this? How do I get through to you? Maybe something interactive. I mean, everything's pretty much out there right now as far as creating that podcast. So
there you go. Well, before we jump into the playoffs, I guess the big news in the NHL is that Seattle has finally revealed their nickname and their colors and their logo. They are going to be known as the Kraken. Luke, what do you think about Seattle's franchise from what they've revealed this week?
I don't know what to think of it. I like the logo.
I do too. The logo is awesome. I mean, yeah, and the color scheme really works too.
Yeah, I find it's a nice twist between modern and sort of vintage lettering. And I like the logo. I'm trying to get used to the name. I mean, a whole bunch of people I talked to last week about that, everybody's pretty much on the fence here. Like, yeah, I kind of get it. They're, you know, the NHL wants to try to get a newer generation in there, younger people listening. But I don't know. I mean, I've had a thing over the last few years about naming teams according to animals and stuff. It's just like, I don't know, just something else, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Well, I was hoping for, and this was just my crackpot idea, since they lost the Seattle Supersonics in the NBA, I was hoping they would just take the name and the team colors and just go that route.
Maybe just a quick nod to them or something like that. Yeah, that could have been nice. Yeah. That's what they did in Montreal when the Expos left. They went and got the UP, the mascot. So ever since the baseball team left, the mascot has been at the Montreal games.
I did not know that. I did not know Montreal even had a mascot. So, I don't know with Seattle. Like I said, I like the colors. I like the logo. I don't know about the name either.
I don't know. I mean, mythical sea creature. I don't know. I mean, I get it. You know, it's a seaport town, but I don't know. But maybe in a year from now, you know, you get used to hearing the name and it'll just like squeeze in no problem.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now we're going to do the task that is going to be very challenging for this year. We're going to talk about the NHL playoffs. And folks listening at home, if you don't know, this year's playoffs is very different from previous years. There are 12 teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Top four placed teams in the regular season will play a series of round-robin games to be seeded 1, 2, 3, 4. And then seeds 5 through 12 will play a best of 5. And they will reseed for future rounds, and those games will be best of 7. Luke, what's your thought about the round robin idea?
We talked about it a bit last week. I mean, I have a hard time understanding why so many teams were okay with this. The round robin teams do get 3 games in, but it's not that much, and I'm not convinced. You know, the meaning that they're going to take behind it. It's just trying to get the rust off, but they're not going to be competing, whereas they're going to face a team that has competed for at least 3 to 5 games. The whole concept and same thing. I mean, for the teams who are making the playoffs, when you look at the teams that were seeded 9 to 12, I mean, they pretty much thrown the towel in. Well, maybe not ninth place, but I mean, it was pretty much over for them. They started liquidating players and all of that. So, now all of a sudden you got to play for something. I understand the idea behind it. They want to try to make, you know, the teams that mathematically had a chance to make the playoffs play, but it's still an odd year. It's an odd concept. So,
and it makes it very, very difficult. As I sat here and just tried to think about matchups, it just really makes it very, very difficult. There's not any type of, I guess you could say guarantee, and not that there's ever a guarantee in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's why, as a side note, and this is totally off track of what we're talking about, I love the playoffs because it in the regular season, you can kind of coast a little bit, but now you can't. And so many surprises happen in the playoffs. I vividly remember the year, and I think it was probably 2012, when your beloved Canadians upset the Washington Capitals in the first round.
Yeah.
That should, on paper, that should not have happened, but it happened in the playoffs. You know, and last year,
I can't remember if it was that year, but they had two, they knocked out the Pens, and the round after they knocked out the Caps, and both times it was like, this shouldn't be happening. What's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the same year. You know, last year, Tampa Bay, you know, got ousted, got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah. So,
well, you were talking about coasting, and that's one of the dangers for top teams. If you haven't been competing as much for a couple of games because you know you're making the playoffs, you want to try to avoid the injuries. But then you face a team like last year when they faced the Jackets. I mean, the Jackets were fighting for a playoff spot for like 3-4 weeks. So they've been in playoff mode for a month. You've been playing okay, but you've still been relaxed, and you face off against a team that's, I mean, they're in it. They're in it, then mm-hmm. they're going to go all the way, and they're all ready to go all the way. So
that's what makes it so exciting for me is the playoffs. I do love it. And I guess my point was that at times you kind of know what you're getting, I guess would be a better way with the playoffs when everything is set in stone and there's no reseeding and whatnot. So I think this year is going to be really, really tricky to try to put your finger on who's got the best shot to win it all. So let me ask you, Luke, probably one question that's a little bit easier to decipher here for the playoffs. Who do you think comes out number one in the round robin play for the East and the West? Do you have any predictions who you might think might come out on top?
You know, I'm a Habs fan, and as hard as it is for me to say this, I'm thinking Boston. I mean, they're a team that throughout the last few years, they've been ready to go since game one. Whereas, you know, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're always kind of pulling a bit at the beginning of the season. They get their stuff going a bit later. So I wouldn't be surprised if Boston ended up on top.
Okay. You know, I know Boston's, you know, the President Cup or President Trophy, excuse me, winners, which, you know, there's not that many teams that win the Stanley Cup and also had that President's Trophy. So it's kind of, it's more like a curse a little bit. And I don't know if Pasternak's not 100%. I don't know what Boston's chances are. But I, too, was a little bit pained with my pick. I went with the Washington Capitals getting the number one seed. I think that they had a great season. They have a pretty solid lineup. I think their only big question mark is if Braden Holtby struggles, what do they do? Because they don't have Samsonov. He's done for the year.
Yeah.
And they have two rookie goaltenders. So I think that's the big question mark. But I kind of like the Caps' chances in the round robin.
Yeah, I think, I'd agree with that too. I mean, for them, it's like the perfect situation. They had time to relax. They had time to get ready. So, I mean, it's probably one of the teams that's going to benefit the most out of this odd break that we had for like what has it been 3 months or so.
Yeah. Everyone's going to get healthy when this first started. Luke, I told a lot of friends, I'm like, everyone's going to be able to get healthy. So yep. That's one positive. Any predictions for the West as to who might come out number one from the round robin play in the West?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't know. I maybe St. Louis. I mean, they're probably one of the most balanced teams out there in the West. I mean, you go through the roster, they got the goal scorers, they got the grinders, they got a fairly decent goalkeeping this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, St. Louis might be able to come out on top. And it's just a 3-game thing too. So
yeah, that's the other little wrinkle to it. You know, and I agree. I think St. Louis is pretty stacked. However, though, I think that every year I'm always a little bit leery of the last year's defending cup. Because defending champions, because you win the cup, it's sometimes so hard to repeat. And I think St. Louis will probably go deep in the playoffs. I believe that. I don't think they win. I picked Colorado because I think that they have a really good goaltending group. I think that they have solid D. I think my big question mark for them is, do they have enough depth in scoring?
Yeah.
Once you get past those first two lines, lines 3 and 4 look a little suspect. But I think the Avalanche might be the number one seed coming out of the West.
Yeah, I think in the West in particular, there are two teams that might be able to really, really shake things up. I'm thinking Colorado and I'm thinking Edmonton. I mean, these are two teams who are going to be on a mission. They're going to be healthy. You know, they're finally making the playoffs for real, you know, and they're not just trying to fighting to try to get just that last spot or getting kicked out of the last at the last minute or anything like that. So, yeah, no, Colorado's going to be in it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Colorado is certainly going to be a team that goes deep. And, you know, I agree with you with Edmonton, with the exception of one thing. I still feel like their goaltending is shaky at times.
Yeah, that's been big. Well, I mean, they finally started working on their defense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a plus because, I mean, their defense was a big gaping hole for such a long time. But their D is getting around, and I don't know. I mean, Mike Smith, you know, he's getting near the end, and I think he's going to be in the zone for this one for sure. I mean, he's getting maybe a last chance. I can't remember if he's playing next year or not.
I don't know about his contract status. I'm not a big fan of their. I think it's pronounced Kostinen, the other goaltender. He's like the 6'6" guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on him at all.
No, and I'm not convinced goaltending wise that they've got anything really convincing coming up. But yeah, I mean it's going to be those two first lines that are going to get them anywhere. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dreisaitl and McDavid are just going to tear it up beyond belief. I think that makes them and that allows them to go deep in the playoffs. I think my other dark horse, I'm going to be honest, Luke, I think Vancouver might actually have the pieces in place to maybe get out of the first round, maybe make that second round tough on their opponent. I don't think they're going to be the pushover that they have been in years past.
Yeah, no, and they're a young team, so I'm curious as to how they're going to be dealing with the pressure. Are they just going to figure that, okay, well, we're just going to try to make it as far as we can. We're learning here. We'll see what's going to happen. Kind of like the Oilers a couple of years ago where people were like, well, we don't know what they're going to do. They haven't been in the playoffs as much, so they don't have that much experience, so... But, yeah, no, I mean, they can definitely give you a run for your money, that's for sure.
Sure, yeah. Is there any matchup, let's just stay in the West, is there any first-round matchup that really intrigues you? Because I'll throw it out there. I think Calgary and Winnipeg is a first-round matchup that, to me, I'm going to find very, very intriguing because I think that the Jets play a very heavy game. The Flames are a little more speedy with Gaudreau and Monahan. I think that that's going to be a very interesting series to watch. Is there any of that first qualifying round? Excuse me, I keep saying first round. I apologize. Qualifying round that intrigues you?
Yeah, well, I mean, my two matchups are definitely Flames and Jets. That's for sure. And I'd almost be happy to play whoever comes out of that round because you know they're going to be banged up from the start.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I think might be interesting are the Islanders and Panthers. They got so many good young players on both teams, struggling a bit on defense. Florida probably has the advantage in goaltending with Bobrovsky. But
yeah.
I think that's going to be one of the interesting series. I mean, that one's going to be full-on offense for sure.
Yeah, and I think if Bobrovsky hits that cycle like he did, you know, last year, I think the Panthers have a shot. I'm going to interrupt this conversation for just a moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they're a great sponsor of the PVDcast, and they also are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, back issues, posters, and they have one world-class pull system. That's right, if you're afraid that you might miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pull system, and every time that comic book comes out, they'll pull it and hold it for you until you come and pick it up. So check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook at wgcomics. Or better yet, if you're in the area, stop by the store. It's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And when you interact with them, please let them know that you heard about it from me right here on the PVD cast. I actually think, for me in the East, the most intriguing matchup for me is the Columbus Blue Jackets versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, because I think both those teams, if there's a qualifying round matchup where you, to me, have two teams that are almost mirror images somewhat of each other, I think it's these two teams. Granted, there's not, you know, I don't think that there's the powerhouse line for Columbus that Toronto has with Tavares and Marner and Matthews, but I think when you get down to the way that they play the game, I think those two are really, really, really match up well.
Yeah, well, what the Jackets probably have an advantage over is their team play. I think throughout the year they've had a much more solid team effort, whereas the Leafs, I mean, if the top guys aren't producing, I mean, they gave the Florida Panthers every possible chance to make the playoffs. And for whatever reason, you know, the Florida just couldn't grasp it and get a couple of wins in a row. But, you know, if that's kind of like the Leafs' problem. If the top guys aren't producing, then you're kind of stuck there. So I mean, if they're able to shut them down, and I think that way the Jackets probably have a bit more depth in their roster. But yeah, no, it's gonna be a good one. And the Jackets' defense is much better than the Leafs, according to me, anyways.
Yeah, I agree.
Much more experience, much more solid guys. So,
yes, I mean, David Savard is a fantastic defenseman, and in my eyes, doesn't get as much credit here in town that he should. You know, I think the spotlight is always on Seth Jones, and don't get me wrong, Seth Jones is a fantastic talent, but I think David Savard is very, very, very underrated.
Yeah, well, it's a classic defenseman thing where if you're not putting on as many points, then, you know, people won't talk about you anyways, but, you know, coaches will love you. You know, the real fans are going to love you because, you know, they know you get the job done, even if you're not on the score sheet every night. But he's definitely, over the last couple of years, this is a guy that has, he's up his game tremendously.
Yes. I also believe that the Pittsburgh Penguins have the team to go deep as well. And I'm just going to say that because I made a big deal about that I wasn't going to be a homer, and I was not going to just talk about the Pens and not be objective. So that's all I'm going to say about.
Well, that's going to be a hard one. You're a Pens fan, I'm a Habs fan, and they're facing each other. So I mean,
well, you know what? I'll be very honest. I feel, and this is just again me being objective, I think Carey Price steals one from us, either game one or game two. I think the Pens are going to win, but it's going to take four games.
Yeah, my concern as far as the Penguins go is that for the last five, if not 6 years, they've had slow starts to their seasons. You know, I mean, they always seem to get it running around Christmas time, and then, you know, after Christmas, they have one of the best records in the league. So if they're not ready to start right out of the gate, that's going to be an issue for them. Because, I mean, on paper, they are obviously way superior than the Habs, except for goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I agree. Slow starts, even slow starts in the playoffs in some years where it's just been – like last year, I think I was frustrated because I'm like, you're not playing to the identity of the team that you have – pitched and played like for this entire season. So what are you doing? Why are we changing this? You know, so I think to summarize on that one, I think that Montreal is going to get a quick victory, either game one or game two. Got to be honest, Carey Price always seems to have at least one game that he steals from us somewhere, either in the playoffs or he steals a couple during the season. Hats off to him. He's going to steal one probably during the playoffs, too.
Yeah. I'm just here to say he hasn't stolen enough this year. But, I mean, at the same time, he can't do it all. So, you know, we're fine with that. I mean, as far as the Habs are concerned right now, I mean, I've got to be convinced, man, they're looking at that first-round pick right there. You know, yeah. I mean, we don't know who's going to have it. If the season had ended the way it ended, I mean, they were probably the ones to get it. Close to. So I mean, you got to be thinking they're looking at that. It's like, you know, I mean, we're here, we're gonna get some experience out of this. But I mean, at the same time, you're looking at that top spot and you're like, man, if we could just get Alexis Lafrenière in here in Montreal, I mean, it'd be good for the team. It'd be good for hockey. It'd be good for the fans. It'd just be tremendous. And then they've been needing a player like that for a long, long time now. So I'm sure they're thinking about it. And the way that, you know, the way that they've been talking about the whole training camp and everything, it's not going to say that they seem to be taking it easy, but they're not taking the approach that, yeah, we're going for the cup. They're taking the approach like, well, we're going to be playing a couple of games and we're going to see what happens after that.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there. I saw this, either on Instagram or Twitter, maybe Philip Dandino doing some weird funky dance during practice. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that, but it was some weird, dance. And I'm like, huh? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. Well, he was just probably just happy because apparently he talked with one of the players who might have had COVID. So they had him practice in like a separate group. There were like 4 or 5 players practicing either before or after the main team. So maybe he was just happy that he finally got the bump to play with the whole team.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, yeah. So has the Canadians been impacted by COVID during this, you know, the pandemic time, you know, March through now? Have they had a lot of cases or just a few or what?
I think they had one. And they had a couple of false positives on the team. So they weren't taking any chances. But yeah, I mean, that kind of goes in the same line. I mean, they're not taking any chances, but at the same time, you know, I don't think they're serious about going all the way. I think they're just going to be there, try to do their best and, you know, hope for the best and see what happens. So.
All right. A couple other, you know, quick questions here regarding the playoffs. Do you, Luke, have a player that you think folks should keep an eye on when it comes to the playoffs? You know, because every year there's that breakout star, you know, the guy that we kind of, you know, we knew he was good, but man, oh man, he put the pedal to the metal and just, you know, light it up, you know, scored goals, got assists, you know, did it all.
I'm thinking of a couple right now. I mean, it's players that probably didn't think they'd have a chance or, you know, I'm thinking Barzal, I'm thinking Barkov, McDavid for sure. I mean, I know he's already a go-to guy, but he's getting a taste of competition for real right now. I mean, a couple of guys like that, but I'm curious to see Barzal and Barkov, what they end up doing.
Yeah, because there's been flashes of brilliance with Barkov. I mean,
They had this one freaking goal that he scored against Montreal at the beginning of the season, and every freaking highlight on every freaking sports channel, they had it. So all year I was watching like Carey Price, like he was a peewee goaltender, and I can't remember who the D-man was, just like, you know, he could have been a cardboard player and it would have been the same thing. Just playing a crazy goal through the legs and everything. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to see this all the way till the end.
And the minute you said that, I knew what you were talking about. Because
exactly. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I think the NHL Network used it as like one of their commercials.
For sure. NHL, I mean, it's a sick goal, but it's just like, oh, man, really? It had to be that game. Can't do that against the Leafs or something. I don't know. It's just
yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I think from me, if we're talking about players to look towards, I think one that I'm curious to see how he does. I think Carolina Hurricanes forward Jordan Martinook. I think he plays a really kind of a rough physical game, and I'm curious to see how that leads into Carolina's offense. So I think he's somebody that I would like to keep an eye on and I think could have a breakout year.
Work cut out for him too with the Rangers because they can play a physical game too. So
Right. Yeah. So I think that's one. And I'm probably going to say, because again, this goes into what I said with the round robin, I think my other player to keep an eye on is Donskoy, the former San Jose Shark, now Colorado Avalanche. Because I think, man, you know, a season ago, or no, it was 2 seasons ago with San Jose, it was like Donskoy could do no wrong. He was scoring goals like crazy.
Yeah, playoff beast, yeah.
Yeah, and so I would like to, and I think if he would be one of those guys that could catch fire, that would help Colorado out a lot in the West.
Yeah, is there I know Landeskog was injured quite a bit this year. Is he on the lineup officially?
I think he is on the lineup. Yes, I believe he is.
That's going to help. I mean, they're big guys over there, and and if they can get some secondary scoring after that, I mean, it's just going to be
Be
an awesome team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. So I guess we'll throw it out there. Who do you think is going to hoist the cup? Or let's take it back a step. Who do you think ends up in the finals for the East and the West? And I know that's incredibly hard to predict, more so than any other year, Luke, because of the wackiness of the round robin tournament and everything else. But do you have any picks?
Boy, I don't. I hate making picks. you pick a team, and then after the first round, I mean, like we were saying, you know, the Flames and Jets. That's going to be a physical series. So you go well. I don't know. Flames are going to be a surprise team, but they just get trampled in that first round. Right?
Oh, I know. It's tough. It is very tough for me. I mean, I came down. I can see in the East, and again, this if everything goes as planned and there's no injuries or anything like that, I could see Tampa and Pittsburgh being in the finals. I could see St. Louis and Colorado in the finals in the West. Who comes out of that? I would probably say, for my picks, I'll go Colorado and Tampa in the finals.
Yeah, that'd be a good show right there. That's for sure.
You know, because again, I don't want to pick my Penguins, and I don't want to be accused of favoritism. But I think if there's one team that historically has given them fits, it has been the Tampa Bay Lightning, especially since they got I can never say his name, the goaltender.
Vasilevsky.
Thank you, Vasilevsky. I always get hung up on his name. He just seems to know he's got their number. And so I think if they would meet in the finals, you know, and Stamkos wants to prove a point, I think, that he can win one more cup.
Yeah, if he can be healthy.
Right, exactly. If he can remain healthy, that would be the – yeah. And I think their defense is really super, super tight as well. I could see them giving the Penguins a fit and moving on. You know, in Colorado, like I said, I think that if they can get that secondary scoring, they're going to be a beast. As to who lifts the cup, heck, I'll just pick Colorado. Why not? We'll see. By next week, all of these picks will be thrown out the window. So,
yeah, my buddy in Toronto sent me a good one. He's a Flyers fan, and he told me like so many times over the years, you know, if the Flyers, because they always make the playoffs and then they just die out. Said, you know, if they ever win the cup, I'm going down to Philly and I'm going to be there at the parade and I'm going to go nuts and it's going to be crazy. And he sent me something he saw on Twitter today where the guy was pretty much saying the same thing he was, that, you know, for years now I've been saying I'm going to go down to Philly to watch him with the cup and the parade. So, and because that's never going to happen this year, the Flyers are probably going to win the cup because I can't go down to Philly and there's not going to be a parade. And so far that's been the best argument for me. It's like, no, this is probably Philadelphia's year. Yeah.
There you go. There's your pick. You're picking Philly, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Philly, and you know what? I'm going to go with boy in the West. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's daunting. It really is. I can't tell you how much time I spent yesterday thinking about these picks.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'd love to say the Oilers for sure, but again, you know, throughout their defense and maybe when you're going down the fourth line, they might have a weakness around that spot. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, they're facing the Blackhawks, who have had so much playoff experience with Taves and Kane and Keith, and apparently Crawford should be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wasn't too much into the matchups at first, but I was looking at them this week, and I'm like, you know what? There's a couple of good things in here that we might have upsets right off the bat.
Yeah, it's a possibility, and that's what makes it, again, that's what makes it my favorite time of year.
Yeah. Curious to see what's going to happen with the Coyotes. Apparently, the GM just said that he's not coming back next year. So
yeah, I saw that, and they've kind of put together a pretty decent squad out there.
Yeah.
You know, so and I think that they'll get out of the qualifying round. I think that they will. So because they have Minnesota, I think.
Nashville.
They have Nashville. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Minnesota's Vancouver. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Arizona gets out of the qualifying round. You know, this is weird that he would leave right now.
Yeah, I mean, just like a week before everything starts, and it's a, but again, it's a testament to this year. So, you know, it's everything that you couldn't imagine is happening. So I guess it makes sense.
Well, you know what? Hopefully things will go smoothly. There'll be no incidences of any sickness, and we can sit back for a few months and enjoy some great hockey action.
Yeah, well, it should be all right. So far, I mean, I think they're probably the best league as to what they've been doing around the COVID thing.
Right, right.
So, I mean, once everything starts, I mean, I get it's going to be hard on the players staying at the same place all the time and not being allowed to move around.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, if one player gets sick, I mean, the repercussions are going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, hats off to him. I'm surprised, actually, that there aren't that many players who decided not to show up because they were allowed to without any penalty whatsoever. If you didn't want to show up to training camp, you had the right to.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I think the only one I can think of is Travis Hamonic.
It's probably the biggest name, yeah. In Montreal, we had Carl Alsner.
But
at the same time, I mean, they signed him a couple of years ago, and because everything's been going much faster, the transition games and everything, he ended up in the farm team.
So I'm
thinking he probably looked at this whole thing and figured, you know, I'm not going to be playing anyway, so I'd rather spend the time with my family. But Hamonic's probably the biggest name that didn't show up to camp. So
right, and you know, because of his daughter too, so he has a, you know, absolutely different perspective, you know, and the right perspective, might I add, you know, for calling it a season, if you will.
Yeah, but in Montreal, I mean, Max Domi, he's a diabetic, so we took him. He came to camp like a week and a half late. To try to figure out, you know, is it worth it? What are the chances? Because if he gets it, he's in that pool of people for whom it's really dangerous to catch COVID. So,
yeah, is he on the roster? I remember reading that, but I didn't look to see if he was on the roster or not.
Yeah, he's there. He's there.
Okay.
He joined the camp late, but he did show up. Now, as to I don't know what their intentions are. Towards him, if he's just there for the skating or if they're going to have him play, because the last few times I saw the lineup after practices, he was like on the fourth or fifth line,
Probably
just to get warmed up. But, you know, I was actually, I was half surprised because, I mean, the guy's really combative. So I wouldn't see him just saying like, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out. But at the same time, I mean, if something happens, you're one of the guys for whom it's going to be really dangerous. So,
right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, he has the balls to show up and do it. So,
well, he's got that tough guy bloodline in him, you know. So,
oh man, I mean, as much as I hate the Maple Leafs, I mean, his dad was one of my favorite players for a while, you know. And he was one of those tough guys that was able to shift with the new NHL for a while. You know, he was in his last few years, he was putting up goals where everybody's going like, "What's going on here?"
Yeah. Well, Luke, we're getting up to about 45 minutes here, so let's go ahead and start wrapping things up. Awesome. You know, it was great chatting some hockey, and we're going to probably have to revisit this maybe here when the dust all settles and that, maybe revisit and talk a little more hockey, because I do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to sit down and chat with me here this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem, man. My pleasure. Anytime you want.
Okay, you got it, man. You got it. I'll just throw it out there. You don't have to. Do you have any social media things or anything you want to plug, or are you just
sort of starting? I mean, I'm a sound engineer.
Okay.
By profession, I want to point out, because I've noticed that a lot of people claim to be sound engineers, and I'm starting my own little thing for podcasts. It's called Podcast Audio Service.
Okay.
I'm so slowly building a little company. Focusing on podcasts, maybe looking into making a class on what's going on with how to set up, how to edit, how to clean out EQs, compressors, little like class Q&A type class, live classes through Zoom or something like that. So those are the projects for the rest of the summer.
Cool. Well, with that, Luke, thanks, man, for coming on again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. And yeah, anytime. We should chat for the real round one.
Okay, you got it. with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of that break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Luke and I giving our opinions and our thoughts on who might be the winner of the Stanley Cup for 2020. I think it's going to be a really tough tournament with the expanded amount of teams in the round robin tournament. I think it's going to make for a very interesting Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, maybe you have some opinions on who you think might be victorious and lift Lord Stanley's Cup, or you can share your thoughts with me. You can email me. My email address is johnorlandopvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal handle is @PVDMVP. And you can even leave a message over on the Facebook page or the Instagram feed for this podcast. Just look for @PVDcast. And you know what? I probably need to remind you about all the different outlets where you can get this podcast, just in case you want to tell some folks about it. Obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is the easiest place to get it. But it's available through all of those major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio. Just basically go to any platform, search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after PVDcast, John Orlando, and you are sure to find it. And when you do find it, please make sure that you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And after you check out an episode or two, please rate and review. That helps me out tremendously. I would like to get a few more 5-star ratings if I can. And, you know, with that, I only have one other little reminder. And that is, of course, that, you know, if you want to hear the live broadcast of the PVDcast, all you have to do is tune in to Redline Radio LLC on Monday nights, 9:30 Eastern Time. And you can hear this week's episode. Just go to Redline Radio LLC on Facebook or redlineradiollc.com, or if you're an Android phone user, go over to Google Play Store, look for the Redline Radio LLC app, download it, and you can take the station with you wherever you go. All right, for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.